Hi, and welcome to the Changing Perspectives podcast, the show where we discuss a variety of topics, including grief, parenting, relationships, mental health, and pop culture. Join us and explore a number of changing perspectives. We're your hosts, Jenny and Josh Brennan. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
What if it's not morning when people are listening to this?
Then good afternoon, good evening.
What is that quote from that movie? Good afternoon, or good, I don't know. It's that movie with George Clooney, I think.
I don't know, but it ends with good night and good night.
Good night and good night, something like that.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 86. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the show. We are excited to bring you a sort of holiday-centric episode. We're combining holiday and a topic that we're, you know, pretty well-versed in, which is grief. So this is going to be an episode navigating grief during the holidays. But before that, we wanted everybody to go sign up for the newsletter, right, Jenny?
Correct.
Sign up for the newsletter, changingperspectivesonline.com. That's where you can get a link to sign up for the newsletter. Just go to the website and then pop up. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up for the newsletter. You get a monthly newsletter from Jenny in addition to a weekly email called the Wednesday Wisdom, which I look forward to every week.
Thanks.
Yes. And it's Christmas season, holiday season, whatever you celebrate. Usually that does include buying gifts for people. And we have a great option for you. Go to the merchandise, the shop section of changingperspectivesonline.com. Check out all of that excellent, fun merchandise, making lots of Christmas gifts. I'm going to do some Christmas shopping myself on changingperspectivesonline.com.
Oh, well, I'm sure in true Josh fashion, that'll be December 24th.
Maybe the 23rd.
Might not get it by Christmas then. <That's> you true. For sure will not get it by Christmas if you wait until then.
Hey, folks, you can also explore giving Chewy a try as part of Christmas shopping as well. If you're a pet lover like us, you need to give Chewy a try. Their shipping is super fast. We usually have our order the very next day. We use Chewy's easy auto ship feature for our dog food, pet medicine, and pet treats. If you need your auto ship order faster or need to delay your shipment, you can do so quickly via the mobile app or their website. And exclusive to Changing Perspectives fans right now, you can get 30% off your first auto ship order by clicking the link over on the Changing Perspectives Facebook page. Jenny has a pinned link over there. A pinned post. So chewy.com, everybody. You have to click the link to get that discount, by the way. Right?
True story.
Excellent. We hope everybody enjoyed our last episode, episode 85, interview with Marielle Melling from loveandlifewithlittles.com. That was a fun episode.
I love her.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, it was a great perspective shift.
And when I start to do some research and get to know our guests on the show, it always allows me to see their social media content, and her stuff is excellent.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, do you have anything else for the group today before we get started? The group as in the listeners?
I do not.
Okay.
No, except to apologize for my allergy. You're a little congested. Today. Yeah, I hope it's allergies and not the COVID.
The Rona, the vid.
I don't mean to make light of COVID. It is very serious.
No, it's very serious.
No, this is for sure my allergies.
No, you don't have any other COVID symptoms.
I actually think I did not take my allergy pill yesterday.
Ah.
I think I forgot to take all of my medication
yesterday. Oh, you did. Mm-hmm. It was Sunday for us. Recording this on the Monday. Every now and then we get bumped out a day just due to our schedule. So this is coming out on a Tuesday. So happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. Well, we're going to dive into another grief-centric episode, this time talking about grief during the holidays for both a lot for yourself and a little bit for someone else in your life, maybe experiencing grief. And I want to kick things off by inviting everyone to check out Jenny's article. I have the link from last year, Jenny, the article, but this has been updated. Am I?
What?
Grief during the holidays?
I wrote a brand new one,
yes.
And it's not out yet.
Okay.
It's been picked up for publication and should be out in the next 7 to 10 days.
Okay. And we'll drop a link, obviously, on Facebook for that.
Yeah.
But for today's episode, we're taking a look at Jenny's article from last year, Managing Grief During the Holidays. I also have a Psychology Today article that's similar in theme. But what really sparked this article, or this episode rather, for me, was a microblog that Jenny wrote a short time ago, maybe a month ago, entitled Always Bring the Donut. And I thought that that was so special and so such a real depiction of what grief looks like in the real world, especially when you are you've got someone in your life experiencing grief. And do you mind spending a moment telling us a little bit about that micro? I have it pulled up, actually. Can I read some of it?
Sure, go ahead.
Why don't I read some of it? I just asked you to do something, and then I'm going to derail it.
That's cool.
Okay. So you're describing an interaction you had with a client, a patient, and they had said something to the effect to you of, my friend just had a death in the family, and I want to do something for him. Is it appropriate for me to bring him a donut for his favorite from his favorite bakery? And you write, first of all, I'd be hard pressed to find a time in which it wasn't inappropriate. It wasn't appropriate to bring someone a donut from their favorite bakery. Yes, that sounds delicious, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then you write, second of all, yes, 1,000 times yes, bring the donut always. Why, Jenny?
Well, because I think that people so often are afraid to talk about grief. Mm. And so what we do instead, because we've never really been trained or educated on what to do, is we avoid it. We think,
right.
we think the thought, like, oh, I should call them. I should text them. I should invite them over. I should send them something. I should bring them a donut. And then I guess that little voice that's been sort of reinforced by society says, like, whispers in our ear, like, no, don't remind them of their loss. Don't make them think about it. If they need something, they'll reach out. And so we don't bring the donut.
Right.
Right. Like that person asking me that question, that was sort of the hesitation put in her head from society. Like, and I think actually she probably said, you know, I don't want to remind him of it or make him sad about it. But I think he had just lost the person the day before. There's no way he's forgetting about it ever, even if it was 3 years before.
That's an interesting part of that, because I think that a lot of folks just in general don't, you know, they hesitate to bring up the deceased person or the loss because they're like, oh, I'm going to remind them.
Right.
Right. But grief is ongoing. It's always there.
Unfortunately, it never goes away. There is no such thing as closure.
Right. We talk about that a lot on the show. And you're right. So the, excuse me, the most important thing any of us can do when someone we love is grieving is show up. Mm-hmm. Call them, text them, bring them donuts, bring them dinner, sit with them in the silence, sit with them and talk, sit with them and cry, sit with them and laugh.
Do you also have the allergies?
I'm like starting to lose my voice. I'm going to mute for a second and clear my throat.
The important thing is to show up. You don't always have to bring them a donut or bring them anything. The key here is to show up. And I guess to sort of trust your gut, right? Like if your gut says they love donuts, they love this little like gourmet donut bakery, then do that. If your gut says they love, you know, flowers from this beautiful florist down the street, or they love this handwritten card or whatever it is, right? Then do it. I don't have my data on. I don't know why you're looking at me like that. My phone is angry, but I'm doing an Instacart right now.
You are doing
Instacart.
So I
have to be able to talk to our
shopper. That's fine. I thought we took care of the buzzing. That's okay. You were saying?
I think I was done.
Are you sure?
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
Yeah. Bring the donut.
You also write, if you're questioning whether bringing a grieving friend a donut is appropriate, go get one right now. You won't regret showing up for them, and it will likely mean the world to your friend. I think that's the other thing people need to realize when supporting a grieving person, especially during the holidays. Even if you think that, you know, this might not be appropriate, but even just the act of bringing something or showing up, right, Jenny? I mean, that you're right. You won't regret showing up for them.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what you bring or if you bring nothing. You don't have to bring anything, just that you show up. And show up doesn't always mean physically show up, right? Because some of us, like if I love all of my friends, but if any of them just knocked on my door right now and were like, hey, could I come in and sit with you with some donuts? I would have appreciated a text first as a heads up. So it's not really, you don't have to show up, right? It's about, you don't have to physically show up. It's about showing up your presence in in someone's life. And I think it's important this time of year in particular, mm-hmm. because the holidays are really, really hard. And for me in my sessions, I just have to pause because we we transported some of my furniture from my actual office yes. into our home office over the Thanksgiving break, including my my armchair that I use for sessions, which is now in the corner of our office. And Norma Jean is with us today, and she has found that chair and is sitting in it and is just staring at me like, what brings you in today?
I think you need to take a picture of her.
I'll post it.
Wow, your phone's making all kinds of noises.
Yeah,
today.
My phone is. Are you sure it's mine and not yours?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because mine's not changing at all when I move it.
I can make sure. I'll double check my phones.
Okay, what was I just saying? Oh, holidays. So in my sessions, we really start kind of planning and talking about the holidays, really sometimes in September, because that's when it starts to be on the forefront of people's minds.
Yeah.
You know, people start talking about like the holidays. And also, especially here in New England, fall is really short. So there's it this is. Sort of, as soon as summer is done, there's this sort of, there's this sort of awareness that right behind it is fall, like right. the shortest season of the year. And then behind that is winter and all of the holidays. So there's a lot of sadness
right.
for people with the holidays. You know, and it's not just people that are having the first holiday, right? The first holidays without their loved ones, but it's any holiday.
Right.
It could be 5, 7, 15 years, but it's still a reminder that that person that they love is no longer with them
right.
at the holidays. So there's a lot of sadness this time, even though it's this like most wonderful, joyful time of the year. This is when most people come back to me as a therapist, right? This is
yeah,
when people
who you were talking like, about that.
Hey, I had another one last night. Hey, I haven't seen you in a few years, but yeah. the holidays this year are really hard. Can we have a few sessions? This is also the time of year that I get the least amount of cancellations and the most amount of people saying, can I have an extra session?
Yeah.
Because it's really, really hard. Of course, I see a lot of folks around grief. So so my numbers are a little skewed, but most people have lost somebody.
Right. Well, that's kind of what you said. You go on in the article or the microblog. If you have a friend who experienced a loss a few months ago or the anniversary of that loss is coming up, now is probably a great time to bring them a donut too.
Yeah.
Lots of people show up.
I'm not even touching it.
Your phone.
I don't think it's mine. Can you move
yours? No, mine are way far away.
Okay. Mine's far away now, too.
Hey, you know what? If you need Instacart, you can use this phone. I don't think you can try that phone.
Okay.
Your phone, I don't know what it is. I don't know where I was.
It's
now is probably a great time to bring them a donut, too. Lots of people show up in the beginning following a loss, but then the world moves on, often leaving the griever behind. We talk about that on the show a lot as well, how at the very beginning of a loss, you know, a lot of people are there, a lot of people show up, a lot of people bring the casseroles, but then it goes away with a loss, and the grief doesn't go away.
Right.
Chances are that you've got people out there that you care about right now who are grieving alone and in silence. Bring them a donut, always. I really, really like this micro piece, Jenny, and I think that it's a nice reminder for folks, especially now. Always bring them the donut. Always bring them the eggnog, the gingerbread, the tray of holiday cookies, whatever it is.
Well, I guess I would also say always send the text.
Yeah.
Right? Like always pick
always
up the phone.
Always show up.
Whenever they sort of cross your mind, reach out to them.
Yeah. Well, I think the format of today's show kind of just took place organically. So started off by talking about this, your microblog, which is about how to support other people grieving. Always bring the donut. Always show up. Remember that grief doesn't go away. And it's always important to remember that. Again, you've got people out there you care about right now who are grieving alone and in silence. So always bring the donut.
Right.
So that's where we start. So let's peel back the layers now and talk about why.
So I actually just sent you the new article.
Oh, okay.
Before, I mean, it's not published yet.
Ooh.
It's going to be published by Hervey
Sneak
from home.
Peek.
Sneak peek. And I don't know the title. So, so often when articles get picked up, the title gets changed. I'd say 90% of the time, which means I'm not great at naming my articles, but the content stays the same. So I don't know what the name of it's going to be yet, but
okay.
I shared the draft of the content with you so that you could sort of pull from that a little bit.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I just have it right here. So we're going to talk a little bit now about the griever themselves. We started off with, again, how to support them by bringing the donut, and then we're going to talk about the actual griever. And you start off the article, which is perfect. The time of year has found us once again. And you go on to say, after everything this year has brought us, we can all breathe a sigh of relief and lean into the holidays. Right, Jenny?
Wrong. For some of us, yes. Yeah. But for a lot of people, no. Oh my gosh, something just fell off the wall.
What is going on in this studio today?
If you believe in supernatural things, someone was telling us something. Poor Norma Jean. She's terrified now.
All right. So you've got, tips in here for each?
Yeah, if you scroll down.
I see these bolded ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the first thing you write, you talk about, it is okay to include your loved one in the holidays. What do you mean by that?
I mean, so often people feel like they have to avoid.
You mean
the deceased
person.
The loved one that you've lost. So often people feel like they have to avoid talking about the person or people that they've lost. They don't bring them up at parties or gatherings or with people or put out pictures or whatever. They feel like they have to pretend that they kind of never existed or that they never had that loss.
Right.
Like not talk about them on Facebook. Don't post on social media that you're missing them. But I say you need to do the opposite. Not only is it okay to talk about them and involve them, but you need to. It's really important for your own kind of healing and your own well-being that you do that.
You said so often our society sends us subtle messages to find closure, let go, move on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot. What is an example of, do you think,
as you always do,
subtle message to move on, let go?
Well, that's a great question.
It's intriguing.
I'm struggling because maybe I don't think it's so subtle.
Yeah. Well, you write that. And sometimes not so subtle.
Okay. I always forget what I write. There's a long period of time between when I submit an article and when it gets published. I think just saying words like closure and like time heals everything and you got to move on. And actually, so our family has started watching holiday movies, right?
Yes.
And our youngest and I have talked about how we want to watch 25 holiday movies before Christmas. I don't know why. I just said, hey, we should like try to watch a certain number of movies before Christmas. And our youngest was like, all right, 25. Okay. That feels stressful, but okay. Yeah. We have three so far. Yeah. So we've got to start doing one a day if we're going to be on track here. But so many of the movies that I'm thinking of, there's a component about grief and loss and death and kind of moving on.
Interesting.
Right? Like think about
that theme.
Mm-hmm. The theme is that like someone has died or you've lost somebody. And so at some point you need to kind of move on and start your new life.
Yeah. Like that. Well, spoiler alert. That spoiler. We watched Christmas Chronicles 2 on Netflix, which I liked. It was good enough for holiday.
Think, yeah, it was cheesy. It was cute. I think most holiday movies are cheesy.
But the whole storyline about saying goodbye to her dad.
Yeah.
Why do you have to say goodbye?
Right. Well, right? I think that whole storyline was she never got. It sounds like her dad died.
Goodbye,
her dad, I think, was a firefighter, right? We have to watch Christmas Chronicles 1.
I think we find out why in the first one.
I think he was a firefighter, so he died suddenly. Yeah. And so I don't think she got to say goodbye. So it wasn't about like closure and no longer grieving. It was about like it was about having an opportunity to say goodbye.
But I think that you, being a professional, recognize it as it's not about closure. But I think the general public will look at that and go, oh, she has closure now.
Oh, maybe.
Her dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there was this underlying theme. I mean, you know this in the first 5 minutes of the movie. So if you don't want to know this little spoiler, then mute us for 10 seconds. But within the first opening few minutes, you know, there's this fear that if her mom gets engaged to someone new, that it means her dad is really gone.
Right, right.
And I think they handle that well. Also, I think they do a good job. Sort of the little boy whose mom has died forms this partnership with a female role in the movie, kind of like a mothering role.
Right.
And the little girl has this sort of paternal relationship with Santa.
Yeah.
So I think they do a nice job of that without p- pushing so much the issue of closure, but it's there. It's sort of under the surface there. Like you've got to, what's holding them back is that they haven't kind of moved on from their loss.
Right.
And I think we see that in a lot of movies, a lot of films. So it's out there. And those
and
things
the resolution
are,
is the move on or the closure.
Uh-huh.
Like that's depicted as the resolution to the conflict.
Right.
Which is not okay.
Right. You know? And also, I guess.
Well, you write in the article, it's a bunch of nonsense.
It is a bunch of nonsense. Also, I think it's interesting watching social media, right? This time of year, well, it's interesting watching social media, period.
Just in general.
But this time of year, you typically see people, you know, posting positive stuff. But I think we are starting to see people be a little more honest and open and share not so positive stuff, right? Like someone that we know and love posted this morning that they were looking for their birth certificate and found instead a photo. I think it was a photo. I can't remember the details now. I think it was a photo or a letter or something of them and someone that they recently lost.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, I think they said like, my day's over now,
yeah.
Which is so real and raw and honest. And I really appreciate that this person is being honest with their grief.
Yeah.
A, because I think it's probably important for that person that they're able to express that. B,
right.
It cues in the people around them as to what they're going through.
Yes.
And C, it tells other people who might be sort of silently watching, like, it's okay to do this. It's normal to feel this way. It's okay to talk about it. But we don't often see that. I feel like that's a changing tide. And so when we don't
nice
see people
see
talking about the real stuff, then there's this subtle message like, hey, don't post the sad stuff.
Right, right.
Right? Like, going back to the Chrissy Teigen, John Legend stuff, when they lost their son, Jack, posting that, there was a huge sort of backlash about it for many reasons. But ultimately, underneath all of that was because we're not supposed
we're
to talk about that.
Yeah.
Please don't make us uncomfortable. So my very, very long-winded answer to your question, what do I mean when I say subtle messages? It's kind of all of
that. Yeah. Social media, pop culture, movies, all that, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You're right. Don't try to forget them this season. Instead, remember them, talk about them, share their memory with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have someone I know that, last season when we were
I forgot to tell my ornament story, but go ahead.
This is an ornament story, actually.
Oh, that's weird.
we last holiday season, or maybe it was I think it was last holiday season was their first season without their loved one. And we spent a session sort of talking about how they wanted to find a way to actually, I asked how they felt about incorporating them that season. And they were like, oh, can I? Like, they hadn't even felt like they could give themselves permission to do that. And so we talked about it. And then they left. And my office is right around the corner from a Home Goods store.
Okay.
And so they texted me like 20 minutes later and said, I had to stop at Home Goods and look around. And I found this beautiful ornament that reminded them of their loved one. And it was so beautiful that they kept it out year round.
Oh, nice.
But the housekeeper broke it accidentally like last week or the week before. And so it was sad because it had become this sort of
symbol,
daily symbol and remembrance.
Enduring connection.
Yeah, this connection to their loved one that had lasted through the holidays and had felt so good that they continued it.
Right.
So they were going to try to find sort of a new one. But parents, stockings, right? So we put our stockings by the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
I think many people who celebrate the Christmas holiday do that. What do you do when you've got a child who's died, right? So many parents sort of struggle with that. Last season, again, sort of talking with a family, this was their first holiday. It might have been their second holiday without their child. And they were talking about how that weekend they were going to put up their stockings and really struggling with not putting up their stocking.
Yeah.
And we talked about what would happen if they did. Like, would it be okay to incorporate them in the holiday season? And ultimately they did. And it ended up being pretty powerful and healing for the siblings who were able to like put little notes and stuff in the stocking their child. So I think we get this sort of, ooh, I shouldn't put out that stocking with their name on it. And ooh, I shouldn't put up this ornament that reminds me of them. But really so often we feel better when we do incorporate them. So what was your ornament story?
Well, I'm just listening to you. I'm being reminded of the fact that we as a family have a lot of sort of grief and loss related ornaments that represent a loss or something like a special memory about someone that's no longer here. But we were, the boys and I have been reluctant to put up to put up ornaments on the tree.
Our tree, I think, has been up since like November 2nd.
No, that's not true.
I think it's been up a long time.
It's been up for a couple weeks.
Like the first weekend of November, yeah, I feel like
before,
it went up.
Well before Thanksgiving. But we bought some new like decorative.
No, I'm pretty sure it was November 1st.
We bought lots of decorative stuff for the house this year. Sort of changed it up a little bit, like our yes. scheme, and it looks nice, including the tree. So the boys and I, oh, this looks, we're all, the three of us, a little bit lazy. But
I bought a new like tree topper.
Yeah, it
new
looks
ribbon.
Nice.
The tree topper and the ribbon have been on it since we got them.
Yeah,
but none. And I
and
bought
some decorative ornaments.
I bought decorative ornaments.
Yeah, that match
sort of tie everything in.
Yeah,
and all three of you have been like, ah, the tree looks fine. We don't need ornaments on it. And every day I'm like, could we do the ornaments tonight? And my sister's like, you need to stop thinking it needs to be a nighttime activity. Because right. I keep thinking like it needs to be nighttime and dark outside and the music is on and we're drinking hot cocoa and decorating the tree. But really when nighttime rolls around, the four of us are like, bleh.
Yeah.
We're just empty. So I keep asking and nobody wants to decorate the tree. And so now it is And I noticed yesterday that we rearranged the boys' bedrooms again and got rid of a bunch of stuff and
new bed,
lots of stuff.
One new bed, yeah. It was a big day yesterday.
Because when you have a smallish house,
which is why,
and you make a change in one room, and
we
someone's
didn't put
like,
an episode
I don't,
out today.
Yeah, our oldest needed a new bed, so we needed somewhere for his old bed to go, which meant we were going to give it to our youngest, which meant his bed had to go somewhere, and. Blah, blah, blah.
Lots of rearranging.
I did notice that in quiet moments of the day that you were kind of putting some ornaments up.
I think that's the only way we're going to do it is like when you're walking by the tree, the box is right there. Grab a special ornament, put it up.
Which is a great way. That's a sort of great sort of message, right, for life in general. Like sometimes if the task is too daunting, why not break it up into smaller pieces? Yeah.
Well, that's what I've been doing.
Yes, I appreciate that.
But anyway,
that's not what you were talking about.
No, that's not what I was talking about. But one of the ornaments I put up was from when I was a baby. And it was given to me by my grandparents, who both died when I was young. One when I was 8 and the other one when I was 12. Very special connection. These are my, this is my Italian grandmother who, I was very close with. I was the oldest of all the cousins. So I had the longest time with her before she passed away. And, she wrote my name just the way she wrote my name. I can hear her saying my name. Mm. You know, she always called me Joshua, my full name. And I can, the pen, it's a wooden train. And the pen that she wrote my name on there with looks like she wrote it yesterday. Like it's still, it didn't fade or anything, but it's 41 years old, this ornament. And I just, you guys weren't paying attention. And I grabbed the ornament out of the box and just held it for a second, sort of, rubbed my finger over the, where she wrote my name, had a moment, and then put it up on the tree.
Why didn't you share it with us?
Because I was grieving on my own moment.
All
That's
right.
okay.
Okay.
You know? But it reminded me of how special this time of year is for me thinking about my, we would spend every Christmas day at
Nani's, our house.
Yeah. And so just this holiday in general is special to me thinking about those times. And I think that, that's what you wrote in here. Don't forget them this season. Instead, remember them.
Yeah.
And it was just little moments like that, and I'm sharing it with you now.
I think a lot of people's inclination might be like, oof, I'm not going to put that up.
Mm.
Right. But and we've had those moments. Right. We still have our first two dogs. We still have their Christmas collars that are still in our Christmas box. And I remember the first Christmas without both of them. We opened one of the Christmas boxes and they were there. We both
lost
were like, I forgot.
Lost it.
Now we remember that that's going to happen. But the inclination is to like put the cover back on the box and just skip it all. It can be really powerful to lean into that, right? To like take those out and allow yourself to feel, to cry, to
Yeah.
Are you crying now?
A really nice, no. Oh. Close though. I'm getting a little misty.
It's okay if you are.
Yeah. But this is a nice transition to your next tip here.
What did I write? I don't remember.
Feeling your feelings is normal and healthy. Lean into your feelings.
Yeah, it really is. Like supposed to, air quotes, be a like magical, wonderful, happy time of year, but it isn't always. And so it's okay to let the whatever, not just sadness, anger, whatever feelings you have, it's okay to express those and let them come to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. Suddenly this sweet little Santa figurine that used to make us smile sends us into a fit of sobbing.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about with the dog's Christmas call.
And that's okay. That's grief, right? Like some days you feel okay and then some days you're not. And that is okay. That's grief. So I think it's important to kind of check yourself and understand that that's normal and that might happen. And if it does, it's okay. You can feel your feelings and then you will stop crying and you'll be able to sort of continue through your day or not. You'll go to bed and tomorrow will feel not quite so bad.
And you're right. Let out your emotions.
Right.
Yeah. It's okay. Lean into it.
Yes.
All right, next, you write, reaching out to your support network is not a sign of weakness.
Right.
Yeah.
So important to like just cue people in and have conversations with people. And maybe it's
say yes to the donut.
Say yes to the donut, right? That would be a great sort of counterpoint there is when someone calls and says, you know, hey, can I bring you something? Maybe you say yes. Or they say, you know, do you need anything? Maybe you say, yeah, I'd love to talk, or I'd love to meet for donuts or something like that. It's okay to use your support network. And sometimes support networks really appreciate being cued in as to how to provide support.
Right. You're right. It's okay to ask for specific things like invitations to social events, regular phone calls, a visit, staying away for a while, or even practical help with things like errands and childcare. In most cases, your support network will be delighted to have been given a specific way to be useful and supportive for you.
Right. Like if there is this, say you've lost a partner and you and like four other couples or three other couples have this like dinner out tradition where you go out, you don't exchange holiday gifts, but you go out for like a nice fancy dinner. I say this because I know people that do this. Mm-hmm. But you've lost your partner and this is going to be the first time. It's okay to reach out to your network and say, I really do still want to come. So don't not invite me because you're afraid it's going to be painful, which some people might. Or it's also okay to say, I love you guys and I love that tradition we have, but I can't do it this year.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm never going to do it again, but it means this year I'm not. It's okay to do that. It's okay to sort of make your decision and sort of put that out there before your friends have had a chance to talk about it and say, like, should we invite her? Should we not? That's what I'm thinking of in moments like that.
This, you know, again, we touched on this a little while ago, Jenny, but the advent of social media and being able to sort of post and express things and share what's going on, I think is a nice way to let your social support know that you're still there and you're still hurting and you could still use support. Because you're right, do people suddenly stop caring? No. But it's out of their, you know, it's out of their realm, their reality.
Right. They sort of just they're stop not thinking
the
ones, about it.
Exactly. The griever never stops thinking about it. But the support folks probably do. They might get reminded here and there, but it's not in their daily life. And so I think that being okay reaching out or even sharing that Facebook post, writing that message, that tweet, that Instagram, without sort of directly asking for help, but lets them know that you're still there, you're still grieving, and you might need a donut.
Right. Rather than kind of holding that all in, it sort of opens the door, like, hey, I'm still in this grief space and I'm needing to talk about it.
Yeah,
I think that's really important to do. And as the friend, to notice that.
Yes. Next, you write, you need to be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I think that's actually the last one, right?
Is it?
I think so.
So let me say that again. And the last tip.
Well, I say that, because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
And so I ended on that one because I think we really struggle with that. We struggle in general with being kind to ourselves. We talked about that with Marielle last week.
Yes.
Right? Like how like self-care is hard for folks to do and hard to for folks to identify how to do that. But especially when you're grieving and especially during the holidays, because the holidays are so focused on like being kind to others, strangers, people you love, you know, putting some goodness out into the world. We don't really think about how important it is to be kind to ourselves. So if you are someone that has any grief this season, it's really important that you're kind to yourself too, that you don't overextend yourself, that you don't push yourselves to do things that you're not quite ready to do. I always think of my grandmother when I see blue jays, and there's like four of them in the tree out front.
Wow.
Yeah, they're also kind of nasty little birds, aren't they? Bully birds.
I think they're bully birds.
So they're dive bombing someone in the front yard. So being kind to yourself is really important. I think this holiday season, if you're listening in 2020 and you're not listening in the future, man, I hope the future is better than 2020 right now. But 2020 holidays, I think, are in many ways more difficult, and I think in some ways easier, right? Because usually this time of year, we would have holiday concerts and holiday plays for our children and other children, and
lots holiday of social gatherings,
sports tournaments and fundraisers and social gatherings and parties, and we would be like stretched, right? Every weekend would be stretched with something, and it would be hard to say, okay, we just need to not go to this. And if we're someone who's grieving and it's hard to socialize, it's hard to face all of those. It can be hard to face all of those. So this year, because of COVID, I think, well, I know a lot of those things aren't happening right at quite the same level. And so it's a little bit easier this year to not feel quite so stretched, but it's also perhaps more challenging because it's a lot more isolating this year.
True.
Right. That's like true. Like thinking about the Thanksgiving holiday we just went through, and thinking about someone I know who's a widow, you know, and her adult children don't live in the same state. And so she's effectively alone during the holidays. And the holidays are always a source of sadness for her because she doesn't have any, you know, she's sort of the oldest one in her family that's left. Everyone else has died. She's got her kids scattered sort of throughout the country, and then her spouse is gone, and so it's just her. So it's always like, oh, is someone gonna invite me to their house for Thanksgiving or for Christmas? Or one of my kids gonna ask me to like fly out there, and will I be able to afford it? Will they help me? It's always loneliness for her, but even more so this year because the guidelines were to not invite people into your house for the Thanksgiving holiday if they're not part of your household. And she certainly didn't feel comfortable getting on a plane to see her kids. And so I haven't talked to her yet, but as of our last conversation, I don't think she had an invite anywhere, which is really...
That's tough.
You know, sort of the reverse of folks like us who are kind of enjoying the slowness that this COVID quarantine has given us. It also is like deafening silence for some other people. So be kind to yourself might mean thinking ahead of time. Like, so Thanksgiving is behind us now, but thinking about Christmas, what do you want to do? What will make that day more enjoyable for you, or at least less painful?
Well, that actually connects nicely to one of the tips in the Psychology Today article that I wanted to talk about, but put a pin in that just for a second.
Okay.
Because there's a couple things that you end the article with that I like, and I want to just share that with everyone. This is under the be kind to yourself. You know, grief doesn't go away. You're right. You carry it around with you, and sometimes it's heavier than other times. It's normal, and it's okay to struggle with the weight of that grief. Recognize that it is normal for this time of year to be more painful and challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And it's also important for the support folks, the folks that are being, you know, asking themselves, is it okay to go bring the donut? It is, number one. Number two, and now you can think about why it's important to bring the donut, to be there, to show up. But you had just mentioned sort of planning ahead, right? And that's actually one of the tips in the Psychology Today article that I'm going to share, how to deal with grief during the holidays. They write, often the anticipation of how hard something is going to be is worse than the actual event. So while Thanksgiving dinner may only last 2 hours, you could easily spend 3 weeks dreading it.
Yeah.
Create a simple plan for how you get through the holidays to avoid extending your anger. Is that sort of what you were talking about?
Sort of, yeah. And that makes me think of what I call an escape plan. You know, if you're thinking, and also sort of leaning into it. So when I talk about this with folks, I talk about it in terms of like, what's the worst that can happen? What's the thing that you're most scared about in terms of going?
Right.
And let's lean into that and think about that and unpack that and what would actually happen if that worst thing happens. And so often once you do that, you sort of, you put a pin in it and you deflate some of the power that scary thing has, and also coming up with an escape plan. So if things are just too hard, it's too much, you want to bail.
Yep.
What's your plan to leave? Right? Yeah. Like, are you going to pretend that you have received a text from someone and you have to go home? Are you going to pretend that you're sick? Or are you going to say, be honest and be like, this is too much.
Right.
And so often it can be helpful to say to the host ahead of time, I'm not quite sure how this is going to be for me with my grief. I might reach a point where I need to leave. And if I do, I'm going to tell you this code word or something so that it's not going to be so weird. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's some good advice. You end the article. And by the way, this is not out yet, but it's coming. So we'll send the links. This has been a sneak preview of Jenny's brand new article talking about grief during the holidays. You write, above all, remember that you are human and deserve compassion, especially from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
It's really true. Yeah. So I guess the always bring the donut, right? To sort of sum everything up.
Yes.
Always bring the donut when you're thinking about your friend who is grieving or your loved one who is grieving. And then also maybe always buy yourself the donut.
Yes.
Right. Like, yes. Be kind to yourself and acknowledge your own grief.
Right.
And I wish we had a local like donut shop that we could.
No, we don't have plug. Any like.
We don't have like a gourmet. I don't think I've ever actually had a gourmet
donut places.
Donut. Oh, wait, I did in Toronto. There was that cute little place. Yeah, that was good.
That was delicious.
Check
out our episode on that from last year.
I think it was a 2-part episode.
It was.
We did 2 episodes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the point. The point is like, lean into the grief. Let's not just ignore it and pretend that this is a super happy time of year, because it's not always a super happy time of year. There's a lot of sadness. And so it's okay to acknowledge that and talk about it with ourselves in terms of our own grief and how to manage that. And also talk about it with our loved ones who are struggling.
Well, to tie back real quickly to our episode 85 with Marielle, she talked about service. And I think that that's an easy way to help someone else and do a little service is just show up, send a text, send a phone call, bring that donut, bring the eggnog, whatever that may be, to someone in your life that you know is struggling right now.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for bringing this topic to light. I appreciate that.
I thought we did it last year, but we didn't. I looked at the episode list, but last fall was kind of funky for us. It was challenging.
Yes. I was like post 2 surgeries. Yeah.
But thank you for updating this and writing a brand new article about grief during the holidays, because you incorporate 2020, which I think is important. Yeah. That's the big difference between your one from last year and this year.
Yeah.
You incorporate the challenges of this year as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So very good.
Thanks.
Anything else for a listening audience today?
Nope. We've got some interviews coming up.
Yes.
I think we're on track to do 1 a month. So,
yeah. Be on the lookout. Oh, and be on the lookout for Jenny's new article, the one we just went through.
Yes.
It's coming.
Soon.
Coming soon. All right. Well, everybody, well, that is going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. For today's show notes links, you can check out changingperspectivesonline.com and be on the lookout for Jenny's forthcoming article. You can also check out that Psychology Today article that we referenced, How to Deal with Grief During the Holidays. Please follow us on Facebook, everybody, at Changing Perspectives Podcast, and on Instagram at Changing Perspectives Blog. You can send us an email to info@changingperspectivesonline.com. You can also visit the website there. And while you're there, don't forget to visit the shop to check out all that great Changing Perspectives merchandise. There's a lot of holidays and winter stuff on there. Go ahead and subscribe to the show, everyone, so you'll never miss an episode, and we will see you next time. Say bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.
The Changing Perspectives podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Dizzy Bird Studios. Copyright 2020. Please visit Dizzy Bird Studios on Facebook. Facebook.com/DizzyBirdStudios.